Father God, we thank you so much for this morning in which to worship and glorify you. We thank you for the fact that you're still working all over the world, bringing people to Christ, exalting your name among the nations, and that we have a part of that through our missionaries. Thank you for your hand on their lives and the extension of your ministry through them. Lord, we pray you'd bless our time together, that we would be greatly encouraged by what you're doing. Pray that you'd give Travis just the right words with which to encourage and strengthen and challenge us. And may all of this be for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's always great to be back here at Grace Bible Church and see everybody. I haven't been able to see everybody yet because I was hiding in the back. But hopefully afterward I can see everybody and see how you're all doing. But this is fairly normal what we do. When we go around, just like last time we were here, we showed the video. And then after the video, I'll talk about the pictures a little bit, share some of the highlights and the, it's the opposite of a highlight, a low light. Couple low lights, because Laura wouldn't let me put but two of them in. Didn't want to discourage everybody, but there's just a couple of them, and I'll talk about that. So anyway, we'll show the video here, and then after the video, I'll talk some more about the pictures.
Sopa, jina langu ni Usi. Na mimi kwa Mungu nituma mwana wa pekee Yesu Kristo ake msalabani kwa sababu ya dhambi zetu.
Sopa, kwa majina naitwa Kayoko. Naamini Yesu Kristo aliyekufa msalabani kwa ajili ya dhambi zetu. Na baada ya siku tatu alifufuka katika wafu.
Hello, my name is Kulanga. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. What do you believe?
Hard to get the last 2 years into a video like that. What do I do here, Dave? So it's hard to get the last 2 years of your life into a video. That was just some of the highlights of everything. But if you guys remember, when we had left last time, there was a dispute over the land issue. And remember, I had a picture up and I said, pray for the blue line. And so this was the picture that I left here saying, we don't even know if we have a station to go back to because they had come in and given us a red line and basically taken our whole station, church, and everything away from us. My house was the only thing left on the station. And so about 3 weeks after we get back, everything worked out. So thank you for your prayers. We got the blue line after all. Actually have a title deed for the blue line. And so after that, we decided to start Mara Christian Academy. And there's three schools in our community. The local government school has about 1,100 children in it from kindergarten to eighth grade. And we just decided that it's so corrupt. The private schools that are church schools are even more corrupt than the government schools. It's a horrible testimony to Jesus Christ. We decided, I think we can do a school. I think we can do it better. And so from that point, we decided to start building the school. These are the guys that's making it happen right here. These are my guys. The other thing about the local schools, just so you understand, I sometimes forget when I say schools and stuff, we have in our minds what school means here in the States. But in eighth grade in the local government school, there are 94 kids and one teacher. So any teachers in here, if you can imagine that. And usually just one to two books for 93 kids, if you can imagine. And so we needed another school. We needed a school that was going to do better. So these are just some of the pictures of us starting to build the school. And the really cool thing about this was the school would also serve as Sunday school classrooms. All these years we've had the church, but we've never had a place for the kids to meet. And so they have to walk up the mountain. It's kind of dangerous with all the animals that you just seen. All of those animals are around our house. There are no fences where they know not to cross. And so it can be dangerous. The last 7 weeks of our life on our mission station has been dealing with elephants that are terrorizing our station. Literally, they have destroyed everything there is. They're stepping over the stone walls that we have and coming into the yard. And they're taking out fruit trees and you name it. It looks like a tornado has went through our station. So we just stopped cleaning it up. And so they're all over the place. So it's pretty bad. So right now they're serving as the Sunday school classrooms, which you saw in the video. And we're getting, I would say, almost double the kids because the school is near the community. So they just walk straight over and they're there. This is what the school currently looks like. We have, basically, it's called top class, and then class one, class two. So it's like kindergarten to third grade we have here. And on the end of the building is an office right now. And this picture is really cool because what's happening here is you can see the book that they're reading is a Bible book. Okay, it was a Bible story book. And the neat thing about this picture is this was during lunchtime. And I think Laura caught this picture. But all the kids are outside playing. We had these two little people here that stayed inside, didn't even go eat lunch because they'd never seen a Bible story book. And so they didn't even care about going and eating. They wanted to sit and flip through this little Bible story book. And so they're getting opportunities that they would never get anywhere else, basically. Resources, books, stuff that the other schools don't have and wouldn't offer. And I put this picture in, too, because for us here in the States, we don't pay much attention to a spigot coming out of a wall because it's everywhere you go. But for these little people here, this is huge. Just that clean water coming out of the side of this wall. That's the kitchen building that they're going to there. But clean water is something, obviously, you don't find everywhere in Africa. And these kids typically, at other schools, they have to carry their water from the river. And the river is some of the nastiest water you can have. Typhoid, We've had kids die from anthrax, from drinking out of the river, because people just chunk their dead animals into the river. And so they rot in the river, and people are drinking the water down the stream. And so this was a huge deal. Or they had to pay and have their water brought from the river. So this is just free, clean water. And this is our water. This is the water that the missionaries drink, that we use. It's the same water piped right in. So it was really kind of funny. The first few weeks, you'd have 40 kids standing around this spigot, all with their cups. And it's kind of interesting. It was a little tough because they didn't know what to do with themselves and all this clean water. But they've gotten control of it now, and they come down, and every break, like every hour and a half, you see all these kids, these little cups, getting this fresh water to drink. And so just little stuff like that, we don't think about much, but it's huge there. These are our teachers. I told our teachers I was going to make them famous in America when I left, and they laughed and thought I was kidding. But this is our teachers. One on the left, her name is Agnes, and she's our principal. And the one in the purple there, her name's Judith. She's our third grade teacher. Miriam in the yellow needs a raise because she's a kindergarten teacher. Anybody you can relate? Lord bless her, because she's got 15 students in her class. And these kids come out of, they're just basically literally wild kids, okay, when they're this small. They're coming out of a boma. And a boma is something that will be 10 to 12 families will live all together and build their houses in a circle and put the briars around it. It's where they keep all their animals. It's where everybody lives. That's called a boma. And so you'll have 30 of these little people in a boma, and they're just running wild because they're the 22nd kid of some guy. I mean, how can you keep up with that? And so they come in, and they are just wild. And she's got them. I've seen them a hold of her hair, and she's carrying one, and she needs a raise, just to say the least. One day, we had a little fella down there, and Laura saw this happening, and he had her by the hair, and Laura goes over and says, "We don't do that." And he latched onto her arm, with his teeth. And so, but she seems to be doing really well. Now, the little kid had malaria, which we didn't know at the time, so he was not feeling well. But, pray for Miriam. And then Sarah is on the right there in the pink. She's a Nairobi lady that's come out. It's her first job. She's doing a fantastic job. All these ladies are Christians. It was very, very difficult to find 4 Christian teachers. In fact, I thought it would be the easiest thing would be to find 4 Christian teachers in a country that's all Christian, they say, like here. And it was very, very difficult. I interviewed 27 in the end teachers. And some of these teachers, we started out by having them come to our house because we wanted them to stay with us and be with us a couple days, and we know who they are. So that's kind of how we started this process. And the first ones that come from some of them days almost to Uganda away, and I'd pay for their transport to get there. And the first night we're sitting there, and I just said, "Hey, let's get this started now. Then I'll show you guys around tomorrow. We're excited you're here." So I just asked the basic questions of Christianity. I would doubt these ladies even knew the Lord. And so we had a Bible study with those ladies, about an hour Bible study after some of their questions. And very interesting. So thankfully the Lord was gracious. Each one of these ladies have great testimonies. They love the Lord. They love the kids. It's very important in a Christian school that you be a Christian, because that's what you're teaching is Christianity. And so we love these ladies. They're doing well. In fact, they had their first term. They've been off for the month, and tomorrow they start back for the second term of the school. So pray for them as they get ready to go into the second term. We started with 33 kids. We've ended up at the very end of the last term with 40 kids. And I talked to our principal yesterday on the phone. I called her, and she said they had 4 new ones, but they expect probably 12 when they actually come, so we'll hit over 50, Lord willing, little kids. So this is Friday morning chapel. Every Friday morning we go down, we do Bible study with the kids. Because we can, because it's our school. It's awesome when you have your own school. You can do what you want. And so we go down every Friday morning. We have Bible study. Kids sing, learn new songs. You can just see their faces. they're kind of happy. And it's unlike anything they get to do. All the other schools are made from, I'm drawing a blank. I knew it. Mabati. Somebody help me out here. Tin. Their schools are made from tin, metal walls, you know, metal ceilings, and it's like an oven inside during the day. When it's raining, they have to stop school, literally, because they can't hear. And so for the first time in these kids' life, it doesn't matter if it's raining or not. Doesn't matter how hot it is outside. They're in a nice place, being able to continue studying. Teachers are happy. Teachers' lives are about as bad as the students' lives over there. They really are. They live in the same place that the students go to school in. And so now we have our teachers on our station. For the first time in their entire life, not just because they're teaching, in their entire life, they have running water. They have electricity in the place. And one of them said they were just so excited because they had a toilet inside, okay, and a cold shower inside, and they're just thrilled. They're loving life. Our teachers are, because they have those things that we take very much for granted. This is what the finished project will look like. And I was wondering if that was, when I was watching the video, I was like, I know my roof wasn't that crooked. It must just be the, okay, now I feel better about myself. I was like, our roof looks crooked down through there. It can't be. It's a wave. Okay, good. So that's kind of embarrassing. So we have this whole, try this thingy out. We have this whole section here done. That's what you saw in the video. And we started, right before I left, we poured the foundations for this section. And on this right here will be class 6th, 7th, and 8th, and a headmaster office, secretary, headmaster, so she can oversee the whole school, anybody that's pulling up. And then downstairs is going to be a dining hall that will seat 220 kids, I think it is. And the very end over here will be a computer library room. And that's something else about our school is, in third grade, we started, there's a computer in the classroom. The kids are learning computer. And so they're very just in awe, you know. And the teachers, they don't have these opportunities. I remember a couple years ago, I went to one of our schools, a private school, excuse me, and they had a little generator running outside. And they had, what was the computer before Windows 98? What was that? 95? Was there a 95? It was before 98, and it was just antique as could be, and you've got 15 kids all put, you know, trying to, it was incredible. So our kids are getting to learn computers, and soon they'll even have internet down here at the school, believe it or not. For some reason, where we're at, it just so happens that they've turned the cell tower, we have WiMAX, right toward our station. And so we have great internet. Nowhere else, even in Nairobi, I don't have really good internet. So it's really a blessing because the school will have internet. Some of the schools in Nairobi don't even have internet. So we're trying to do very well with the school, make it something they've never seen or have. We've had officials show up, government officials, counselors, politicians come through, walk through. They're just walking through. They've never seen anything like it, they say. In our whole area, the public health officers come through, don't know what to say because they've never seen anything built like this. So it's really been a great testimony. All the officials come through and we want to know what you need. We want to help you build this. We want to do it. And I'll say, no, we don't need the government's help. Thank you very much. We don't want your involvement. And so they kind of frown at that. That's okay. So this was where we was at when we left, right here. As you can see, we got one course of stone laid. This right here is one classroom. That'll be fourth grade, and that'll be fifth grade right here. And so my guys are there. They're just coming back because I give them off when the school's off, when I'm gone, so they can be with their kids and stuff. And so when they come back, they'll start laying the stone again. So Lord willing, we get back the end of October, we can take November and half of December and get one more class going. So fourth grade, third grade can move into fourth grade in January. As you guys, you may remember, the last time I shared with you was about the new believers that had come to know Christ and had went through the baptismal class. Well, shortly after we got back, 2 months, this was their baptism. And it was just a fantastic time. It was on a Saturday. Was it Saturday or Sunday, Laura? I can't remember. Saturday. It was a Saturday. We had local pastors from all over come out, from all over the area. We had over 200 people come up to the station because it was free food. So everybody showed up, you know, mostly unbelievers. And these people right here just gave fantastic testimonies of how God had changed their life. And Jesus Christ has come in and rearranged them completely, changed their hearts. Our local pastors from all over, they said that they'd never heard testimonies like our people gave. Typically when they go somewhere, it's just, I'm saved, dunk me, I'm done. But our guys, everyone stood up there, 4 or 5 minutes, just incredible. Macon, you guys may remember Macon there. He was the town drunk at one point, and he stood up there and said, I've been in all of your places drunk. Every one of you have known me. I was an alcoholic, and Christ came in, and he has saved me. And so it was just beautiful to hear all these people with their testimonies. And they were baptized that day. The very same day. Oh, this is Tigas and Macon. That's Tigas on the left, Macon on the right. And that very same day, you saw in the video, and once again, after remembering America, 2 church weddings, big deal. We had 500,000 in America last year, or probably more. It's a big deal over there because they were all married Kenyeji style. Help me out here. Traditionally, they were all married traditionally. Kenyeji, Swahili. They were all married traditionally, which basically means the wife has no right to anything. Wife's a piece of property. If the husband dies, she's left without anything. She has no rights to the husband's nothing. It's just a horrible situation. And so when these two guys became believers, they said, we want to have Christian weddings. I mean, they got kids. They've been married for years, the traditional way. But they wanted to do a church wedding while all those people was there. It was a very busy day for us, but a very happy day. And so they got married again. And you can just see they're tickled. All these people, it was a great testimony once again. Our church was just packed to the fullest. And they said their vows and got their certificate. So now the wife is legally married to her husband and has his possessions if he has any. Macon and Nordetit there. And then that was the church that day, that people were standing in the windows. People were standing outside. It was just a great day. The wedding dresses, I mean, you don't really buy wedding dresses in Kenya that I've seen. So there was women shipping over. We had guests coming, and there were people sending their old wedding dresses over. And we really, you know, dolled them up, made them look good. And the guys went and had the suits that we had brought over. And it was really cool. It was a great day. These are some of the boys that have grown up basically in our house since we got there. The one you saw them all. They were the one on the right's a girl, far right. But the two on the left is Kulangosh and Memusi. You saw them get baptized there. They've been in my house from the beginning as little people and grown up. And they just we've sponsored them through school for years, through one of the schools in town, and they just went to secondary school, which is, I think I might explain last time I was here, it's not just like, hey, eighth grade's over, I'm moving to ninth grade, like it is here in the States. Or you fail and you go back and you know, whatever. Well, over there, eighth grade is basically, it's a time of testing in your life. You don't pass the test, you don't move on. And so we've had a high rate of suicides in the country because the kids get to that, they fail, their life's over, they think. And so going to secondary or high school was a big deal in our area. The two boys that we've sent, there's no high school around our place. The nearest high school is 3.5 hours away. So not only that, they have to leave their families for 3.5 months at a time and come home every 3.5 months. And right before we left, they left about 3 weeks before we left. We sent them on their way. And a week into it, we get a call from some nurse 3.5 hours away. It says, hey, Memusi, the tall one in the middle there, he's been in the hospital for 4 days. He's sick. That's how it works. Can you imagine you're in the States if your kid had been in the hospital 4 days and you didn't know it? But anyway, he's in the hospital and he's sick, and they said he had typhoid. And he's not getting any better. So we get him back home, and he was literally on death's door, looked horrible. We sent him to our local area there, which is not good medical at all. I'll talk about that in a second. They said he has malaria. Well, turns out he had malaria, typhoid, and pneumonia all at the same time. Poor guy. And he is good now. Got him the right meds. He should have died, probably. But got him the right meds. He's back in school again. Everything's good. Just a great joy with these young guys, though, seeing them. They come home from school. They were home this whole month, and they were down helping our teachers tutor kids that wanted to come. And so they're very involved in church, very involved in the school. They're on the station when they're home all the time. And so it's just been great to see these young men and their testimonies. You know, when they go out, when they come in, everybody knows that their testimonies are good. Before I baptized these young guys, I stood there and said, and it was in a room of 200 pagans, and I said, is anybody here, you guys know these people better than me? Anybody got anything to say? Because I know this one can be pretty mean. And everybody started laughing, but nobody had anything bad to say. They all approved that they were living out Christ in their lives in the community. So it was fantastic. And then I'm going to let Laura come up just briefly and share about the young lady here. Her name is Kotea.
This is my friend Kotea, and she's been in our church ever since we've been there in 06. So she's grown up in the church, but she hasn't had a very easy life. Life for Maasai girls can be very difficult because when they're born, they're not as valued as boys, and they're seen more as a possession and someone that can work for the family. So also her mom died when she was just a little thing, and she was raised by her father and her father's two other wives. So she was treated more like a maid in the house. But she's been so faithful to church, and the Lord has saved her. And she will come to any Bible, girls' Bible study, any church function, even if it's pouring down rain. And so this past January, we had the privilege of helping her get to high school, which is a really big deal for a Maasai girl to be able to go to high school. And I don't know if you can tell from this picture, but she is very excited. This is like the day before she left. And so she's just a joy to be around. And just pray for Kotea, if you think about it. This is Mitao. She is a very sweet girl in our church. Her mother is a believer in our church, was actually one of the ladies that was baptized. But her father is a pagan, complete unbeliever, and does not respect the church and anything that his mom, her mom is wanting to do. So he was refusing her to go to school. He did not want her to be educated, which is really common for Maasai culture. But the mom kept pushing and pushing. And finally he said, I'll let her go to Mara Christian Academy because I know Travis. And so she was able to come, but he refused to pay or give any sort of financial support. He's kind of pushed her over to the side. So through a sponsor, we've been able to put her through school, and she is so happy. She's about 7 or 8 years old, started kindergarten, is smart as a whip, and it's just a pleasure to have her and girls like her to be able to come to our school.
So otherwise, this young lady would have never been able to go anywhere, never been able to get educated. We have tons of young ladies that'll be 11 in a family, and they might send one, but the rest of them are just at home doing the chores and different things. So it was really neat that he even let her come. I've went many times to talk to people, talk to the dads, and sometimes they will, sometimes they won't, sometimes they laugh in your face. And so it's a blessing that she's there. Her mom, one of the believers, just started working at the school because she is a second wife, second wife. And now she was a second wife, and the husband went and got a young girl as a third wife. Is that what happened? Yes. And so she's an early teenage girl, and so he's pushed, Nangishu is the lady's, is the girl's mom I'm talking about. He's pushed her and her family out more, and now he's just kind of tailoring to his new teenage bride. And she's not eating. And so she shows up one day and she's asking for a job. And I mean, we hire a lot of people trying to help them just have a job so they can feed themselves, but we just didn't have anything. And something came up to where I said, you could clean the outhouse every day after school if you'd want to for 2 hours clean. And it's not like an outhouse here, because remember those little wild bush babies I was talking about? Well, they're scared to death of the hole in the ground, okay? So it's about 2 feet from the hole. And so unfortunately, but she said, I'll take it. And so 5 days a week, every day after school, she's down there cleaning this. And she told Laura before we left, now I no longer have to worry. What'd she say?
She said,
now my stomach doesn't worry where our food's coming from. And she makes $6.25 a week, if you can imagine. But that's what she's feeding her family off of. This is another young couple in our church. Name's Paul and Simbeo. Paul and Simbeo. And Paul has just been a joy. They're both Maasai. I'm going through the baptismal class with him right now. He loves the Lord. He's becoming more, you know, spoken in the church and stuff like that. He doesn't read, doesn't write. So he works for me every day. And so for the first hour and a half, 2 hours every morning, he's going to reading class. And he wants to learn how to read. So it's slowly coming. He as well, right before we left, they haven't been baptized yet. They will be, Lord willing, when we get back. But he said, we want a Christian wedding too. We want to show the community we're Christians. We want a Christian wedding too. So I said, how old's Simbeo? And he said, oh, she's 17, 18, 19. You should have seen him looking down. And they were married when she was 15 years old. They hadn't been married long. And so I said, you know, it's against the law of Kenya to marry anyone under 18. But we'll find out when we get back. And hopefully she is closer to that. It's not like here where you can just go check. You're lucky if they even have a birth certificate there. The mom, you'll go talk to the mom if she's alive. And you'll say, when was she born? Or when was he born? 1986, 87, maybe 88. So that's a big difference there. And so just a lovely couple, though. She does read and she does write, but she didn't go to school. And she reads and writes because of the learning center that was on our station where they could come and learn how to read and write every morning if they wanted. So she does read and write. But they're just a lovely young couple. It's great to have Christian couples in our church. The other thing in our church, for those of you who've been there, you know this, you've seen it. On your right side of the church is where all the women sit. On the left side is where all the men sit, okay? It just has been that way. These are possessions, and these are real deals. You know, that's how these men are. And so now that we have Christian couples coming, they walk to church together, they sit in church together. It's just amazing to see, you know, how that has changed, how Christ has broke through all the cultural stuff, tearing all those walls down, and now they sit together, walk together. Tigus watches the kids, which is just almost blasphemy in a Maasai man to sit and watch his children. But Tigus does. He watches them, and they're doing fantastic. It's just something else. You know, I talked about me and Moosey and our issues with health stuff there in our community. It is awful. There's places and I've been that I wouldn't take my animals to get sewed up, and I've actually taken humans there to get sewed up because there's nowhere else to go. Most of the time when someone's sick in our area, they'll go and they'll, countless times, I can't tell you how many times, someone will come and say, well, my kid had typhoid or malaria. It's always that. It probably is never that, to be honest with you. I said, well, what did they give you for it? And I hold up a liquor bottle and it's got green goo in it. Like you can turn it out and it will just, you know, kind of not even pour out. And that's what they're giving their kid or giving themselves. It's just really nasty. They don't know what the medicine is. They don't really know what they got. If they don't get a shot, the doctor was worthless. He didn't do his job at all. They have to get a shot. And so I don't know what they're shooting them with. But so anyway, all that to say, we want to do a medical facility and a dental facility on the end. We have people already given dental chairs and stuff like that just so we can take them back. But we will start with the lab. So hopefully when somebody comes and is sick, we can, you know, see what's wrong with them, test them, and actually they will know what they have. They can get the right medication. And so we're excited about that. Kajabi Hospital is a missionary hospital. It's our closest hospital. It's 4 hours away. It's where two of our youngest were born. But it's 4 hours away. And for them, that's very difficult and expensive to get there and back. And so we have talked to Kajabi, and I think they are willing to give us people to put faculty in and staff the place with their doctors and stuff. So that would be awesome if they would do that. So we'd have full-time doctors there, and it may even be missionary doctors, we would hope. And so groups that come out medically and want to do whatever for a week or two, that have facility to do it. And so we're excited about that. And then the girls of Old Malaika Home. You guys saw them singing. That's my favorite song they sing. I love it. But there's 29 of these little girls, and all of them were either in danger or have been female circumcision. They've been circumcised, or they were given as dowry gifts. You can see the little people there on the end. They're like 6 years old, and they'd already been given away as a present. Women are objects. They're things. Their value is in what they can be got, you know, trade for and stuff. And so there is a lady, American lady, who grew up in Kenya, started the Old Malaika Home. And it's a place to shelter these young ladies when they're in danger of these things. They can run to this place, and the place can have legal custody of these children. And so all of these girls have done that. Each one of them, you can see, they're dressed nice. You see all their tennis shoes on. It's kind of funny. They have sponsors. They're all sponsored. Their schools are paid for, and they have a safe place to grow up, and they're eating well. And so it's really a great ministry. Laura, more than me, but she goes down. She does Bible studies down there with them. They come up to our church sometimes, and they're there and sing. And so it's just a great thing. There's 29 of them, and the lady contacted me about 4 months before we were coming home this trip, and asked if I would be willing to build them another section, an annex, she called it. And so I agreed for some reason, but it turned out good in the end. But it's a very busy time the last 4 months. And so the red building there, that's the girls' home currently now, and this is the annex that we added. Now they can add 24 more girls in because of the annex. So it was a worthy time to do that. She paid for it. I just built it. But we finished it the Tuesday before we left. So we were kind of wide open there at the end. It's very close to us. I took that picture from our church, from where our school's at. So that is right there. You can almost throw a rock and hit it. So that's the children's home and the new annex for them. But the cool thing is to see how Christ is changing these people's lives in our church. A lot of the ladies, it's tough on them. And the new believers are standing up and saying, we will not circumcise our daughters. We will have no part in it. Some of them have taken a lot of heat over it when they refuse. So we've offered them, you know, we'll help any way we can. We can come live with us, protect, you know, whatever you need. And some of them taken some hard stands. Some of them had not and fallen and went ahead and did it. But the majority of our people are standing against this horrible thing now. So it's awesome to see that. And we have one guy, he wanted his wife to know Jesus because he's seen how the other guys' lives had changed because their wives, basically their lives hadn't changed. Their lives were just a little bit better now because they had Christian wives. And we had one guy wanted his wife to know Jesus. And he was really happy when she came to know Christ. She was one of our ladies until it came to this. And then that, you know, when she put her foot down and said, I will have no part of this, then it all changed. He wasn't even wanting her to get baptized or anything else. So he said, when she gets baptized, she won't be able to do this anymore. And I said, no, she already can't. You know, had to explain baptism to them. They think you're saved when you're baptized at that point. And so that was fun. Okay, some lowlights, I guess we would call them. That was me in July in the hospital. And the Lord was gracious. He really was. Anybody ever had a kidney stone in here? Yeah, you know my pain right there. We were out in Masai Mara Saturday night. Had some numbness go down my leg like nothing else. It kind of freaked me out, but it went away. I got up Sunday morning, preached in church, and we were scheduled to go in anyway to Nairobi. I'm doing fine. We get to Nairobi, and that night it hit, and it was all over but the crying, literally. And it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm trying to call a taxi to come get me, take me to the hospital. All of our friends' taxis were blocked in, so my buddy sent somebody I didn't even know, and I crawl in the car with him. I don't remember the ride there, and I remember falling out in the hospital floor on the tarmac. Two soldiers carried me in. I didn't know what I had at this point. Thought I was dying. And took me in. It turns out, long story short, it was 3 days in a third world hospital. Don't ever do that. You will regret it, because I did. 3 days in this place. I can tell you all more about that one-on-one, but it was incredibly painful. They had me on 11 pain medications in the end. I just think they were experimenting. See if this works. I first walk in, I'm in excruciating pain, and they give me something for numbness or for nausea, and they said, this is going to blur your eyes. And sure enough, in like 5 minutes, I couldn't see a thing. And then they bring the papers in for me to fill out as I'm laying on the bed. So I'm just scribbling. I don't even know what it looks like because I can't see anything. And so it was stuff like that. It's just a horrible memory. Scares me to death when I think about it. Never want it to happen again. I drink a lot more water now. So this was Skylar. This happens all the time. And I know stuff happens to kids all the time. Some of us in here have stuff right now with kids. But it's just tough when you're 4 hours away, you know, and your kid's bleeding out in your living room. And so just wanted to show that. Remember to pray for Laura. It affected Laura more than it did Skylar. So she's the one that's worried all the time about it. But that was a rough day. Some fun picks to get out of that stuff. So, yeah. It almost speaks for itself. My dad's not here yet, I don't think. He's coming, so I'll tell you guys this. He was trying to get my dad's job, and he was applying. And so the funny thing was I didn't get the phone in time to get him with his hands on the controls. And I thought it's funny until I walked up there and half the back of my seat was eaten. It was laying all over the place. So we are plagued with these baboons. They're all over our yard all the time, destroying everything they can. But that was a funny picture. On our way to take Skylar to the hospital, this was a first for me. I'd never seen this. And we're pulling behind. This is a taxi, okay, in Narok Town, a very populated city. And, I mean, you guys see what that is? That's chickens. That's like 50 chickens. They're alive. They're all tied together by the feet. And the taxi is just packed with people like the chickens on top. And I mean, I'm right on these guys' bumpers trying to take a picture of this. Bleeding child in the seat laughing. It was interesting. But they're taking their chickens to the market. It's like 50 of them, all feet tied together. So that was a pretty fun pick. And then this. You guys, what do you call that around these parts? Walking stick? Walking stick. Okay. That's the normal size, right, of a walking stick. Maybe a little bigger around here and there. So we are pouring concrete for that fourth and fifth classroom, and I'm on the tractor with cement and going, and I keep seeing something on the toilets, on the outhouses, blowing. And I thought a kid had stuck a stick up in it, and I wasn't paying attention. And so I finally stopped just to pull the stick out. And I go up, and here's this thing. Yeah, it was a walking stick. I'd never seen a walking stick in Kenya since I've been there. And here's this massive walking stick. Each one of those tiles is 12 inches. He was a little over 12 inches in length. So it was, we grow them big over there. So, but anyway, that's pretty much it. I want to thank you guys for listening and for your prayers and support of what we do over there. Would love it if you want to come visit. We're open for that. Please come over and see what we do. We appreciate you guys letting Dave come over. He'd probably been mad at me if I'd have put any of the pictures of him in over there, so I didn't. But we had a good time. Dave was a real... The wet one, yeah. We had a great time. Dave was able to teach to some of our local people there and help them out and help us out. It was a real encouraging time that he came, and it was really good. I think he has some good memories too. Yeah, it was probably cultural shock a little bit, maybe not. But yeah, it was good, and we'd welcome any of you guys if you want to come and smell it firsthand. That's what I always say, you know, don't see it, but smell it firsthand. As soon as you get off that plane in Nairobi, you smell something different. And so come over and take a look, spend some time, see what's happening. It's always exciting that we can take and put on the screen and you can actually see it with your eyes, but to see it in person is hard to beat. Talk to the people and stuff like that. But let me close this out. Let's pray. I'm going to go on. Father, we do thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for all these folks that have come out and come to worship you, Lord, and hear your word this morning. See this presentation. I thank you for all that's going on over there. Pray for those guys that are there today and doing their services and all the kids and everything that's happening there. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for what it means to all of us here. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. He saved us and come into our lives. Thank you for the fellowship that we have among each other as brothers and sisters. So, Lord, we do pray for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.